If you've taken a look at the title of Drash tonight, Doctor Who and Hosea, rewriting your life story, some of you are apt to say, Doctor Who and Hosea? Hosea I know, or you'd better know, but who's Doctor Who? If you don't know, then you are not among the select, the elect. But I'll leave it at that. And to take it the next step further, and just what does the doctor have to do with Hosea, or more importantly, with this time of year? Well, we'll get to that momentarily. Well, Hosea is the Haftarah for tonight, and it's a favorite of mine. But Hosea has an important message from God to his people, especially to those who may not have been real good at following him. It was a message that God would, in fact, restore the intimacy of their relationship with himself, that he would, as it were, rewrite their history. And so he says in chapter 14 of Hosea, O Israel, return to the Lord your God. Return, isn't that perfect for this time of year? Return to the Lord your God. And my love will know no bounds, for I will refresh, I will renew Israel like the dew from heaven. Her people will rest beneath my shadow. They will be like a watered garden. I will look after you, and I care for you. And I am like an evergreen tree to you throughout the year. My mercies never fail. I love it because of what it says. I love it because of the implications here. For those of you who have ever wondered, and this is outside the story, so let me step outside the story, of where okay. Anyhow, what I was saying, if you've ever wondered where the idea came from to celebrate the birth of Yeshua with an evergreen, blame it on Hosea. And by the way, I want you to notice the imagery here. Like an evergreen tree to you throughout the year. I love that. Christmas all year long. Anyhow, back to the story. Enough of the aside. But as you know, I couldn't avoid saying that. Doctor Who is a classic science fiction hero. However, the Doctor is a Time Lord. In other words, Doctor Who can move anywhere in and into time and space. So what happens is, in the story, the Doctor jumps into whatever time and world and universe that needs Doctor Who in order to restore order and to restore lives. In effect, Doctor Who enables people to rewrite their stories, to rewrite their history, to rewrite their biography, to rewrite their very lives. And that is the story of Shabbat Shuvah as well, as Hosea describes it. So, following the Time Lord, let's do a time leap ourselves. After years of exile, Jews are returning to the land of Israel to rebuild its cities, its towns, and its farms. But Jewish life in Israel is far from ideal. The Jewish community is surrounded by enemies seeking its destruction. It's pressured by the dominant cultures around it and is in danger of losing its vision for God and following his ways. But Ezra and Nehemiah rally the people and they stir up a renewal in their relationship to Scripture, to tradition, and to God himself. And it is exactly that same kind of renewal we need, especially today, since today is Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat of renewal. And as it turns out, the Ezra-Nehemiah story happens on Rosh Hashanah. The text reads in chapter 7, toward the end of Nehemiah, when the seventh month came. Seventh month in that calendar is the same as the first month. We talked about that last week, so I'm not going to get back into it. When the seventh month came, the people of Israel gathered together into the square. The priest Ezra brought the Torah before the assembly, all of whom who could hear with understanding, both men and women. Did you catch that? These people understood Hebrew. They could understand it as it was read to them. Not just the men. Right? Both of those things tend to be misunderstood by many people who haven't... No, I won't say that. By many people. Back to the rest of the story. It says, and this was the first day of the seventh month, Rosh Hashanah. He read from it, and all the people were attentive to the Torah. Look, under Ezra and Nehemiah, the renewal and restoration had been going on for years. But now, they had come to the heart of it. Renewed attention to the Torah. And therefore to God Himself. So when they hear the words, they begin to weep. Doubtless, at least in part, in repentance. You know, in our time, we often hear God's teaching. Not only the Torah, but that which is also called the prophets and the holy writings, the Ketuvim, and the scriptures of the Newer Testament. But let me ask the question, do we hear as deeply and as responsively as our ancestors did in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah? Look, they had to in order to hold out against the idolatry of the surrounding cultures and the tenuousness of their circumstances and the tenacity of their enemies. Our surrounding culture is not a whole lot different than theirs. But we also live now in a religious subculture that is often saturated with Scripture. But do we allow that Scripture to saturate us deeply enough to turn us around in our tracks? Turn us around in our tracks. That is the core meaning of repentance, or Shuvah, of this time period. In other words, as we responded with Eitz Chaim, turn us, Lord, and let us return. That's a vital question for Rosh Hashanah, for Shabbat Shuvah, and the days of all. Now, Ezra and Nehemiah's renewal involves a renewal in tradition as well. And so the text reads, the scribe Ezra stood on a wooden platform that had been made for this purpose. This is Nehemiah 8. And Ezra opened the scroll in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Sound familiar? Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. Then they worshipped the Lord. Now, the wooden platform that's mentioned here may have served simply to make the readers more visible and more audible to the large crowd. But it was called a high place or tower. And so it recalled Mount Sinai, where the Torah was first given. To hear it then most deeply, the people reenact their historical encounter with the Torah at Sinai. They stand before that wooden mount, so to speak, as one community, and they receive the words by saying, Amen, Amen. Amen, Amen, in the Hebrew. It's very much equivalent to what our ancient people said at Mount Sinai. All the Lord has said, I will do, Exodus 19:8. So they're reenacting. All these things are echoes of Israel's experience at Mount Sinai. And it's therefore an important reminder to know before whom you stand. Dalifne, miata, omed. Know before whom it is that you stand, as we've emphasized over these last several weeks in our Parsha readings. Now, their ancient ceremony reminds today's Jewish community, and particularly us as its Messianic segment, it reminds us all of our need to revisit, to reenact, to revitalize and keep alive our heritage and our legacy. We can be and should be flexible in our use of tradition. And in fact, while I was up front, I whispered into Richard's ear something about we are flexidox. We believe in flexidoxy. Not a term I coined. Comes out of the back crosser. He's a conservative rabbi, so give him due credit for that. So we should be flexible in our use of tradition, but we can't separate Jewish identity and Jewish history from Jewish tradition. It's tradition which connects our community. Ready for this? Over time and space. Thank you for those of you who picked up on that. Thereby breaking with the individualism and the isolation that characterizes our postmodern world. And their time of renewal and revitalization reminds us that we too need a similar time ourselves. We need to take stock in how we live and how we are known by others. As a gentle reminder, a minister, a priest, and a rabbi went for a walk in the country. They were sweating profusely. Then they saw a secluded lake. So they took off their clothes and jumped right in. As they came out, much to their shock, however, several ladies were passing by. "Quick, cover your privates," shouted the minister, which he and the priest did. The rabbi, however, covered his face. After the ladies ran away, probably screaming, the minister asked the rabbi, "Why did you cover your face instead of your privates?" The rabbi responded, "I don't know about you, but in my congregation, it's my face they'd recognize." So, how are you known or recognized? Or is it time for a renewal, a rewrite? Well, Ezra and Nehemiah's Rosh Hashanah service renewed and revitalized Israel in their relationship with Scripture, with tradition, and with God Himself. As we saw, Ezra read the words of the Torah. And as he did, the people hear so deeply that they begin to cry. But the leaders tell the people not to cry, for, as they say, "This day is holy," as the texts usually are translated. "It's special, it's set aside to the Lord your God. Go your way. Eat and drink and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is truly special to our Lord. And do not grieve," and I love this, "do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Take that as a motto, write it down somewhere, post it on your refrigerator, on your Facebook site, or wherever else you want to post it. A very important reality, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what comes out of this kind of renewal. Similarly, the days of awe are not days of mourning precisely because they lead us into the presence of the great King. And remember that, because that's an important perspective for all of this time of year, beginning with Rosh Hashanah and even going all the way through the Simchat Torah, in fact. Last week's Parsha sheds further light on the meaning of standing before the great King, especially as part of a renewal and a recharging. Last week's portion opens with Moses addressing the people of Israel as they are preparing to enter the Promised Land. Notice that he specifically addresses each segment of the community. Okay. He addresses each segment of the community. I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry, but I'll say that anyhow. He addresses each segment of the community because at this important time, as in Nehemiah chapter 8, the covenant is renewed. And so the portion reads, "All of you are standing here today in the presence of the Lord your God. You are standing here today to re-enter into a covenant with the Lord your God that the Lord your God is confirming with all of you today." Please remember that that included not only those who were part of Israel, but those who had joined themselves to Israel. Talk about inclusiveness. It covers everyone who wants to connect. And in case we have any doubt, verse 14 makes it clear that the covenant extends, ready for this, throughout space and time. It includes those that are not here today, us and our children. And their children. This is the nature of the covenant that God made. It's an oath which He originally swore to our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. It's the one He married into with us at Mount Sinai, which is now being renewed for the next, not just for the next generation, but for the next generations. We see throughout this parsha, this portion, and in fact, it is an overarching theme throughout the whole of the Tanakh and the Brit Chadashah, the older and newer testaments. We see that the covenant is based on God's love for His people. The covenant is the means by which the relationship between God and us is defined. It spells out what God has done for us, His commitment to us, and what our response to Him is to be in order to keep current and maintain that relationship of love and blessing. We are to remain faithful to Him and not to follow other gods if we want the intimacy of that relationship. Oh, we don't have to worry in our day and age about following other gods, right? No, we make gods out of other things. And so we need to be careful not to let other things or goals or people or even jobs or responsibilities distract us from following our God. And we need to be careful not to let our circumstances do the same, whether they are good, bad, or indifferent. In the good, the bad, and the ugly, in all, we are to follow our God. And He's our priority. Now, sadly, we know from later history that this pattern happened, the pattern of getting distracted by other gods. However, in the very next chapter, the parsha reading for this week, we read about the process of renewal and restoration. In other words, the very process we saw in Ezra and Nehemiah. And it is that process that will take place after we get turned around and return to Him. At that time, Jeremiah 30 tells us, last week's portion, that the Lord will, the text is always translated, circumcise your hearts. The Lord will sensitize your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love Him with all your heart and with all your life. In other words, you can fulfill the words of the Shema, which you said you were going to do anyhow. This sounds a lot like the promise in Jeremiah 31:32, where God says, I will put my Torah in their inward parts, and in their hearts I will write it. Or Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you instead a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my instructions and enable you to follow my guidelines. These are the promises that God will do this for us to enable us to follow Him and His Torah. Now this, of course, is fleshed out further in the renewed covenant initiated by Yeshua. It's the promise of the revitalized life and the transformed heart that specifically come through His renewed covenant, by which we have the ability, by the Spirit of God, the Ruach Hashem, we have the ability to more fully follow Him as we said we wanted to, and again, in the words of the Shema. Well, this brings us back to our parsha, last week's. God tells us through Moses that adherence to His guidelines, this was read to you, is not too difficult for you, nor is it beyond your reach. This word is, the Hebrew says, karov alecha, very near to you, in your heart and in your mouth, so that you may be able to obey it. This speaks of the intimacy of the relationship we have with God. In other words, we can do this because God has enabled us, as mentioned in the text I just cited. And it's not out of our reach. It can be done, despite what many people have taught regarding these texts. And the rabbi in Romans and in Philippians tells us this is doable as we allow the Spirit's rule in our lives. And in fact, he suggests that he himself has done this in Philippians. The final verses of the parsha sum up our whole relationship with God and what he expects of us and the choices that he gives us. He calls on heaven and earth to witness the renewing of this covenant. And he tells us that he has set before us a choice. Verse 19. Of course, it's his desire that we choose life. But he gives us the choice, and that's very significant. You see, he has not made us as robots that will automatically love him. He has given us freedom to choose him or turn from him, to follow his ways or follow our own ways. In either case, we'll experience the consequences of our choices. And I'm sure we've all experienced both the blessings of following him and the consequences of going our own way. And so he says at the end, choose life that we may live. Choose the way of blessing, of peace, in the sense of settledness, and the wholeness that comes from drawing near the very source of life. This is God's desire for us. The portion then ends with the threefold benefit that will come from choosing life, that we will love Him, that we will listen to His voice. His voice, interestingly, the term is kol. Kol. When the shofar is blown, it's called kol ha-shofar, the call, or the voice of the shofar. That we will listen to His voice is kol, and that we will cling to Him. That's verse 20 of chapter 30. Interesting. The Hebrew word for cling there is davach, from which the Hebrew word for glue comes. It's the same term that's found in Genesis chapter 2 at the end, where husband and wife will cleave to each other. In other words, if we stick to God like glue, we will be blessed and will experience His goodness. This is then followed up by the statement, for this, doing this, living like this, is your life. Or as the rabbis interpreted this phrase, and some translations have it as well, God is our life. And that's an important reminder. And now it's time to speak about time yet again. It's time for us to experience His blessings, as in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and as Hosea reminds us and encourages us to, as at the time of the covenant renewal in the Parsha we've been looking at, the one from last week and extends into this week. It's time for our rewrite, for our renewal, our restoration. It's time, it's high time for us to experience His blessings. That's why we stand before the King. That's why we stand here today, at this particular time of year, as the Yamim Noraim, the days of awe, remind us these are days of encounter with the King, a time to renew and recharge our relationship with our God Himself, and to rewrite our stories as we return to Him wholeheartedly and reorient our lives in keeping with His guidelines. Just last week, I was reading in the Jewish Press of Pinellas County some thoughts by some of our area rabbis. I thought this one was appropriate for this particular time. It's Rabbi Daniel from Congregation Beth Shalom in Clearwater. She writes, "The Jewish New Year is accompanied by a unique soundtrack. The call of the shofar, the murmur of prayers, the special music of the high holiday services, and the glad voices around the celebratory meal. Attuning our ears to these transcendent sounds can impact the way we listen in the year ahead. The clarion call of the shofar awakens us out of our slumber. The ancient prayers and sacred music anchor us in a Jewish cycle of renewal that has held our people together to this very day. The joyful gatherings around the holiday meal strengthen our relationships and create new memories. But God is also listening throughout this season. From the Matzor, we cry out, hear our voices, respond to us with compassion. Shema Koleinu Eloheinu, you know the words. We pray that God's ear will be attuned to our innermost pleas as we diligently attend to the reconciliatory action that's required of us. Reconciliatory action that's required of us. Let me remind you, as I did before, not only towards God, but towards others in and outside our community. Back to what she says. So her wish is this. So may the sounds of the season resonate in the year ahead, inspiring us to listen more closely, speak more softly, act more compassionately, and fill our days with a more joyful sound. Thank you, Rabbi Daniel. That's very well said as an encouragement. And so we cry out, Hashivenu Adonai Alecha, Veneshuva Chadeshemenu Kikidem. Turn us, Lord, to You. Let us return, renew our days as of old. And God responds, as we read, the Lord will rescue you. So be strong and courageous, for the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And I might add, even if you might feel that he has in some cases. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And do enter into the sounds of the season. Take the next minute or so as a time of quiet reflection, response, and ongoing renewal.